College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The president of the Commanders, the new Jason Wright, if you will. Notice you know this guy's name way less. He is not as publicly facing. He is not on NFL Network talking about the depth chart.
Right now, if you're listening, don't look it up. What's his name? What's his name? Do you remember? I went, which guy's that? Oh, that's right, the team president. Interesting, huh?
Mark Klaus. Klaus is the guy's name. He comes from Campbell, like the Campbell Soup Company.
Mm-hmm.
He was at an event today in D.C., where a bunch of people got together to talk about the economy in the city, I believe. It's one of those events. They always happen in the city.
Sure.
Everyone gets dressed up. It's like a big banquet. A lot of people with a lot of money sit around and chat and get to the bottom of some things. And oftentimes, good, important things come out of this. This was one of those events where there's like curtains in the background, and they're on a stage, and someone sits with their legs crossed and asks questions of a guy like Mark Klaus. That's what this was.
Yeah, yeah.
Klaus talking about the stadium, couple of clips we wanted to play for you. Why it needs a roof and the fact that it will have a roof, and the fact that it's going to be very rare because it has a roof in this area. This was the new president of the Commanders.
Arm wrestling, there is a roof on the stadium, and I think that's going to enable us to bring, you know, 30 to 40 world-class events. I mean, we will be the only roofed facility of this side in the Mid-Atlantic, and so, you know, whether that's Taylor Swift or the Final Four or any WWE wrestling fans out there, WrestleMania could come, but we are going to be able to host everything that's in the city on a national stage. And because of that roof, it gives us a chance to actually create a pipeline of jobs and development.
So the roof is a formality. The roof is a lock. It is a part of this as much as a playing surface to have a football game at this point. And I think it's finally starting to settle in with people a little bit. About 2 years ago was the first time we started talking a lot about what a stadium could look like on this show.
And people were shocked.
Well, someone reached out to me from the team, and they said, you've got to start mentioning that this thing's going to have a roof. You keep saying retractable. It's not going to have a retractable roof. It would have a roof. And I said, well, I don't understand the difference. It needs a roof, obviously, because you need to be able to hold events. But nobody wants it closed on nice days, so it's got to be retractable. And they said it will not be retractable. Now, this was a different ownership. Mm-hmm. So I guess if you have Bezos and money's not an option and he just wants to build the whole thing,
you got an extra bill.
You can do whatever you want. But it costs almost $1 billion. On top of whatever else you're going to do, to have a retractable roof the size of an NFL stadium. And when the Harris ownership group is already footing 75% of the bill, and the other 25% is a knockdown, drag-out fight for Washington, D.C., no one wants to pay another $1 billion. There's also the fact that when you have a retractable roof, you don't use it as often as you think you're going to. Because the risk of weather, a little bit too hot. It's not 75, it's 83. Well, that's a little unpleasant.
Yeah, so humid, too.
We'll close it. A little bit too cold. You know, 55 is football weather, but it's 49 today. It's a little chilly. There's a chance of some snow flurries. Well, we're going to close it. So the sweet spot gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And basically, it's got to be between, let's say, you know, 50 and 75 degrees or 78 degrees or whatever in that window with 0 to 10%, whatever it is, precipitation chance. And you find out that when you go back over the last X number of years for football, it would only have been open, you know, 40% of the time or whatever it is anyway. And then there's the element that you want it to be as loud as possible. You want the home field advantage. Well, guess what's louder? Indoor, not outdoor. Then there's just the experience at the stadium with audio and video and the lights and all the things you want to do, which all gets better with a closed stadium. So will you lose something not being outside? Yes. But I think people are starting to understand that this is just part of it. You want a new stadium? In the same way that you're going to welcome PSLs, you want a new stadium? You're going to get less parking.
Yeah.
You're getting a roof. There is no alternative. because you cannot hold the huge events without it. And we've said this for 2 years. I think finally it's now just starting to settle in. The dust is settling on this. You don't get Super Bowl without a roof. You don't get WrestleMania without a roof. You don't get Taylor Swift without a roof. You don't get Beyonce maybe without a roof. And if you don't get those things, you don't get the stadium.
Yeah, and you
can't have enough events. You can't have enough big events. It's over, Johnny.
And that's what it is, right? You got to make your money back somehow. Who knows if you ever will? It's an economic shell game. But the point is you got to at least start to make a dent. And if you have 10 events a year, that's, you know, 10 home games plus a preseason game maybe, and, you know, two or three other events, one monster truck rally maybe or something, it's not going to butter the biscuit. You need dozens. Now, some of them are going to be called events, and it's like a blood drive, and the doors open technically. But still, if you're talking about the things where people are driving, commuting, parking, metroing, consuming, going down there as a destination, it's got to have a roof. And I think that's one of the not only a selling point, but it's I think it's different. It's a necessity. And I know that there's this romantic notion because it's football. I get that. It's played in the elements. And visually, some of the greatest games you can remember have some of those elements of, frankly, elements. That's off the table now, I think. In order to get that downtown stadium right there, dome.
Every single year, there's like one thing that I say on social media that I remember getting the most blowback to the point where just for weeks, and I literally, I'm like under siege where just like, oh, someone else just saw this in another market. And I'll get another, you know, just dozens and dozens of after one retweet from another market, like hateful, terrible things. My thing this year, 2 years ago, it was when Tua Tagovailoa, who's got one of the craziest followings.
He does. I was going to bring this up.
In
yes.
League history. I tweeted about a bad throw that he made to Tyreek Hill. And you would have thought I said he doesn't deserve to play in the NFL. I mean, like viral. Because Tyreek Hill retweeted it as well and kind of took issue with what I said. And then as it came out on Hard Knocks or whatever the Dolphins were on, some behind-the-scenes show, mic'd up, he had basically acknowledged everything that I said was true while mic'd up on the sideline with Tua Tagovailoa, but he just like stood up for him publicly, which is cool. But so much crap for that, just like for weeks and weeks and weeks. I'm getting updates like, this town is now gone. It's now the number one trend. And so that was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Last year, my take that you would have thought I just walked around kicking people's pets was when I was watching the really cool Browns-Steelers game, I think it was.
Okay.
In prime time. It was like a Thursday or Monday night game. December, late in the year, and it was a snow game. And I said something to the effect of, you couldn't pay me enough to sit in those stands right now. It's an amazing look on television, but it's just not the same being there as it is watching on TV. It's like too nice at home or whatever. I love the optics of a snow game.
Yep.
I'll never sit in another stadium like that for those, you know, that environment. And the amount of bad words.
Oh, yeah.
Start with a P and a B and all kinds of different things that I was called. But I just think I'm in the majority on that. Like now in Buffalo, when they build a new stadium, it can't have a roof because that's just your culture. And you guys want to go throw snowballs at each other after the touchdown.
You guys want that hypothermia.
Cleveland, there's this huge debate. I was talking to a Browns fan at the arena before the Caps game a couple weeks ago. It was like, you know what's going on with us. They're at odds. They're bashing heads over this because same thing, the mistake by the lake and the wind and the cold and the elements. And some fans are like, we're Cleveland, man. We love this. DC ain't that. I'm not telling you there are not fans that don't want to go sit in the snow and the weather. They do. But as someone who's got season tickets and my wife, you know, whether she's pregnant or not, it's like, I don't want you to go. You're a mom to like three kids, about to be four. Like, you can't be sick all week. You can't just go sit out in the cold rain. And it's just not it's not reality. People that paint their face can do that, Frank in accounting. The rest of us can't really do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, of course.
It's just kind of crazy. So you're just going to have to deal with the fact that it's going to be 70 degrees and air conditioned and comfortable, and you might not get snow games. In D.C. I'm sorry, but you're going to have to find a way to be okay with the amazing comfort.
Do you remember any of your other, quote-unquote, inflammatory takes that got national response?
Oh, I could probably think of some.
Was one about Noah Syndergaard's hair? Did that go? Was that big enough?
No, I wouldn't count. That one went...
To Noah Syndergaard.
Syndergaard and then to MLB Network.
Yeah.
So Noah Syndergaard responded.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. But no, this is like... The amount of notifications
yeah.
is like notable from a financial standpoint.
I got you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. So, like,
what
for
in
example,
the hell happened those
you tweet
2 weeks?
Warren Fogle's a jerk for cheap shot on TJ Oshie.
Right.
And now everyone in Carolina is responding to it.
Sure.
Something like that is what you mean.
Yeah, and you don't want that. Like, that's not fun.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, oh, these people engagement farming. No. I would like to just do my little thing here,
have
some DC sports fans banter with me, and never be acknowledged anywhere else. That would be lovely for me. It's not worth the stresses and anxieties and the whatever else. But the Noah Syndergaard thing was, I can't remember the exact tweet, but I said something like, looking at Noah Syndergaard's hair makes me want to shove a toothpick into my gums or something like that. I think I said is more annoying than a popcorn kernel being stuck between your teeth. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. Noah Syndergaard's hair is more annoying because I just don't do the pictures with the ponytail bit. He acts like he's like, what's the guy from Beauty and the Beast?
Gaston.
He's got like the Gaston good hair Gaston with the big pull. Arms and the ponytail. And so anyway, I said that, and then Noah Syndergaard responded.
I can't look at your dumb hair and watch you pitch, Paulson said.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is that
Wait,
it?
What?
I think I've got. Maybe that was the audio.
That was another time.
That's a quote. I can't look at your dumb hair and watch you pitch. That's from Grant.
That's when we were talking about pitchers with long hair on the show.
Here it is. Here's the original.
Okay.
Noah Syndergaard's ponytail annoys me more than having a popcorn kernel stuck in my teeth in a world devoid of toothpicks.
Yeah, there you go.
There it is. Because of toothpicks.
World devoid of toothpicks. Because
yep.
It means I can't get it out. So it's just going to be there forever.
Uh-huh.
Just cut your hair, dude. That's all you got to do is cut your hair. But then he responded to me. He was like, having the name Grant is annoying to me. Or, I don't know, something unfunny or uninteresting. But because he went back at me, MLB Network picked it up on television. And so when they did this show, like Quick Pitch, I don't remember who it was, but like some beautiful woman was standing there next to a screen, and she was like doing all the highlights for the day. And then she was like, and look at this interaction between Noah Syndergaard and a radio personality. And it was like a big thing.
Look at these responses. Oh, they are unkind. One guy was like, the Nats suck, and it was in 2019 in April, so it was true then.
I got to go back and find that guy. Still think they suck, right? Because they don't anymore. I'm being told they do.
Well, he was right. Yeah, it's come around. He's right about the Wizards sucking, though.
So that was in
2019.
How about that? So I need to say something like that about another player, and then they'll win a World Series. Is that how it works?
I think so. Mm. Make it a Met. See what happens.
Meet the Mets. Meet the Mets. All right, the president of the Commanders, Mark Klaus. You just heard him talking about the roof. I think you guys are okay with the roof now, but you can call in if you want to discuss that. 800-636-1067. It's got to have a roof or you're not getting a new stadium, and it's the only way it'll work. The other thing he talked about was the new facility and whether or not they can make it resemble the old one, because it sounds like the owners have all instructed him. They want the seats to shake, and I keep hearing this from people.
Yep.
The seats have to shake. They've got to bounce up and down. I don't think you can do that. That was a bug, not a feature.
Yeah.
That was not the design of RFK. It was just like, oh no, the seats are moving. That shouldn't happen.
And it's cool. But again, I think there's like building codes.
Is there technology that would allow for that to be a thing moving forward? I don't know. But this was Klaus today on that.
In a contemporary, relevant way that feels like you are at the absolutely premier facility in all of sports. And that's the goal. With a view that looks up the mall and that is iconic, but yet, fierce. And that's what we're building. I get, Mitch and Mark and Josh are like, you got to make the stands shake. I'm like,
yeah, that's
I don't
a big
know.
Part of it.
Structurally?
Definitely got to have that.
You got to make them shake, Mark. They got to shake. I'm like, well, I'll stand behind your chair and shake it if you want.
You can hear the clapping in the crowd. I mean, that is catnip.
Yeah.
For fans of this team that are older than 45, if you mention the stand shaking at RFK, it's like, everyone gets all horny.
Does anybody here hate the Cowboys?
Right.
Bah!
all-time promo, just like, you know, you can't stand up after that. You got to stay seated for a little while for these 50s and 60s-year-old then Redskins fans.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.